This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Peeps, welcome in to the Friday edition of the PewterCast, presented by BetUS, part of the Fansided Network, your number one spot for all things Tampa Bay Buccaneers news, analysis, hot takes, and otherwise. I am Steve Carney. That is Ren Dax. And on Fridays, we always have we always go with the Bucs side of things after a Wednesday where we look on the other side. And so we will get to that in just a minute. But Ren, how are you?
Never better. Thank you. How are you?
Nice to see you back in your normal setup. That was kind of a strange Wednesday, there's no doubt.
How's my volume?
It's better. you were very loud, and we got a lot of people on YouTube talking
one
about
person.
How loud you were.
One person.
Well, all right, one person, but still it was
it's a lot.
When you get somebody going, "Jesus, Ren, you're so loud."
And that's
I'm
also
usually,
not true.
I know.
Just
well, that's
Ren
usually what they
loud.
Say about me. Ren too loud. It's like, no kidding.
Yeah. So. Yeah, no, it's good to be back. You know, didn't have to schlep my stuff all across town. It was just, you know, I agreed to a schedule, and then I was
and then
hoping,
all of a sudden, I had Bob Sosie.
I'm like, well, hey, you know that schedule I told you I could do? I can't do that anymore for an hour.
Sorry. So thank you for being back in your normal spot. It is very good to see you. And this week we have brought on one of our partners at FanSided. He is one of the writers for Pewter Plank.
Co-expert.
I like that. Writer, co-expert for the Pewter Plank.
I think that means you get paid. Is that true?
Brandon Thornton?
How's it going, everyone? Thanks for having me. And yeah, to answer your question, Ren, it does. But
yes,
good.
I don't like to brag about all that.
Well, yeah, because everybody else on your staff doesn't get paid. I get it. I did it for a while. That's the dream, right? You move up. Hey, we give you exposure. You move up. No, I did it. It's cool, man. Like,
and then you get paid.
Yeah,
I'm here for 3.5 minutes. You're already gonna get me in the doghouse.
That's right. Hey, welcome to the PewterCast.
He's never gonna want to come back again, but you will.
Because
we're lovely and just cuddly teddy bears here on the PewterCast. We'll get into Brandon's thoughts on this week's matchup. Again, it is Bucks and Patriots from Foxborough on Sunday Night Football, and it doesn't get any bigger than that, unless you've got a big man area that you need to get trimmed. Again, my Friday version of the awkward segue into Manscaped, as the PewterCast is sponsored in part by Manscaped. It's my thing, Brandon. I just have really awkward segues.
I've just learned to embrace it,
and I just laugh at it.
I can't even look anymore. If you've noticed,
yes, I
just
know.
Have to.
You just have to mute your mic and giggle your ass off because they're that bad. But the Pewter, you know what isn't bad is Manscaped. Yeah, that's
there we go.
That's a better segue. Exactly. And the PewterCast is sponsored in part by Manscaped. Manscaped has their brand new Lawnmower 4.0 men's trimmer. This has all the bells and whistles that you could ask for in a men's grooming piece of equipment. You've got the brand new skin shield safe ceramic blade. You've got a longer battery life. You've got wireless charging. You've got a nice little LED light on it that'll let you know, hey, is that a shadow? No, it's not a shadow. It's someplace that you have to shave. And of course, the Lawnmower version 4.0 is part of Manscaped's new performance package version 4.0, with you get the Weed Whacker 4.0 and its 9,000 RPM motor to help get rid of that ear and nose hair. You get a package of their Crop Duster Ball deodorant. You get the toner as well, plus a couple of free pieces with, including a pair of the Manscaped boxers, which are really, really nice. And you can get all of that at a discount thanks to the PewterCast. Just go to manscaped.com, use the promo code fansided20, and get 20% off of your order and free shipping. Again, that's manscaped.com. The promo code is fansided20, and you can get 20% off your order and free shipping thanks to Manscaped and the PewterCast. So now that that's out of the way, first off, thank you, Kyle Driver, for the super comment there, saying go Bucks, because it is a Bucks football Friday as we get ready for what I've said, Brandon, is the biggest regular season game in ever when it comes to the NFL. But we always start with, you are now the co-expert of Peter Plank as part of the Fansided Network. How did you get there?
Well, you know, I know you guys said I can start from birth with my story. I'm not going to go that far, but
thank you.
I will start when I was two, because that was the first game I ever watched. When I heard you sigh, so I'll just twist the knife a little bit. In 1996, when I was two years old.
I was already in college.
Oh, you could have fooled me.
I don't even want to know how old Red was. He was like 60 at that point.
Yeah. I don't remember.
My younger brother had just been born, and I was laying with my dad watching the Eagles and Falcons, and it was the game when Jeff Jones and Jeff George and June Jones had their little spat, and I just kind of fell in love with it. And ever since then, family and friends just give me books, VHSs, which I still have. My VHSs are over there. Can't really see it behind me, but I got my great library set up here. But so then after college, just started writing, covered the Eagles for Inside the Eagles, and then kind of parlayed that to also doing Spin Zone, where I covered the Raiders, who have always kind of been my AFC team. I have a whole Raiders section in my library there. Then I covered the Jets, Bills, Chargers, and that was it, and Bears. And then kind of right around Super Bowl time, kind of got the gig to with Rob Leeds, who's awesome, to help run the Pewter Plank. I'm not going to take credit for the Super Bowl win, but, you know, I wouldn't.
You showed up
and it down either.
And they won the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
right?
You know, and they shut Patrick Mahomes down. So I'd like to think I had a part to play in that. not to brag or anything. That's about the most bragging I'll do. But, yeah, that's pretty much my story in a nutshell.
All right. Well, as Tom talked about, or Steve, Tom. I haven't called you Tom for a while, Carney.
No, it's been a couple of weeks.
Yeah,
good.
It's been a couple of weeks.
Not bad.
As Steve talked about, the most anticipated game probably in the NFL, probably going to be the most watched non-Super Bowl game, definitely probably most watched pregame show. I think I heard that the network who's carrying it, I don't know, NBC or whatever, is doing an hour and a half of pregame before this one. So, you know, the Bucks come off the loss to the Rams, and the defense doesn't exactly look good. We have to talk about right off the bat. They go out and get Richard Sherman. It doesn't look like he's going to play this week. But do you think that was the best route the Bucks should have went? Was there somebody else out there that maybe you were looking at? Or did you think that the Bucks would have been okay just sort of like biding their time and waiting for SMB to come back?
Well, I mean, as far as that goes, I feel like that kind of that room, the secondary room, kind of needed like a jolt. And Richard Sherman kind of provides that, especially with his veteran leadership and everything like that. And Brady wanted him, like he went out of his way to contact him, which speaks volumes.
After week one.
Right. I mean, I like Sean Murphy Bunting, but I don't think the way the defenses look, they can really afford to kind of wait, especially the way in the division, the way the Panthers are playing. I don't, you know, whether or not you think that'll sustain is another issue, but, you know, they're not really in a spot, because now they're the hunted, to kind of sit and wait. And in Sherman's case, I mean, yeah, he's not going to make an impact right away. And he himself knows that. He stated that week five will probably be when he has a real impact. The good thing is, coming off of a loss, I mean, he doesn't come off of many losses in his life, so he's pretty much going to be out for blood. So, you know, I don't think the defense is going to be, and not only that, the Patriots offense isn't exactly the Rams offense, but at this point, whose is? So I think there's going to be a lot less pressure on those cornerbacks. Safeties, I'm not as much worried about. But the thing I am worried about, though, is the and I touched on this, you know, little cheap plug a week ago.
Do them all.
This pass rush has been non-existent.
Yeah.
That's the thing I'm worried about. And, you know, Richard Sherman, he's obviously a future Hall of Famer. At least I think he is. But, I mean, even the best corner in the world can't cover a receiver forever. You know, all these guys and JPP comes back, which will help. But, you know, Shaq Barrett just got paid. He had a sack opening night and hasn't been anywhere. Joe Tryon, Shoyinka, I mean, he's still a rookie. He's still going to kind of get acclimated, but he's learning that, unlike in the preseason, you can't just use speed to run around the tackle and get in the backfield. So, I mean, as far as the secondary goes, given the Patriots offense being the way it is and Mac Jones kind of struggling, I'm not as much worried about the secondary, but the pass rush is a little concerning, especially because the Patriots offensive line isn't anything to sneeze at.
Yeah, and with that, how important do you think Vita Vea is? I mean, obviously, Vita Vea is going to be the guy that's going to garner all the attention up the middle and hopefully get those guys an opportunity to come around the side. But, you know, I really saw the Falcons game where he had a couple of passes knocked down at the line, you know, even though he had three guys on them. You didn't see that at all in the Rams game. I think that it's going to be just as important for the pocket to get pushed in on Mac Jones in Foxborough as it is for the guys coming along the line as well. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I think Vita Vea is the most important player on that defense. I can't write enough about him. I think he's awesome. The way he can pretty much create pressure and collapse a pocket pretty much by himself is incredible. And when he was hurt last year and then when he came back, you know, he's not going to light up the stat sheet because, I mean, what nose tackle will? But his impact, like their sack rate goes up, their pressure rate. And he is creating pressure this year. They're getting pressure up the middle because Nacho's getting pressure up the middle as well when he comes in for Vea. William Golston had a sack. It's just, I don't know what's going on with the outside. The interior of the line's doing their job. It's Vea included. But if they're going to, you know, if they're going to make this game as easy on themselves as they can, they got to do what you said and collapse that around Mac Jones because he struggles under pressure anyway. But being a rookie on top of that, they can, like, I know Brady's going to want to go out there and throw, you know, 50 times for 500 yards, but if they just create pressure on Mac Jones, they're probably not going to even have to. But to answer your original question, I think Vita Vea is the most important player on this defense and probably so far the best player on this defense as far as consistency goes.
Yeah. You saved yourself right there at the end. I would argue Carlton Davis. Vita Vea for me is a close second. At least when we're talking about dominance, but a cornerback, it's a lot harder to be consistent as it is as a nose tackle. What do you make of BA? We're going to stick with Vita Vea here for a second. What do you make of BA saying that he expects like multiple sack games out of him? As in, is it to the point that, yes, okay, you're super strong. Now you know you're super strong. Does he need to, you know, open his toolbox or learn more things than just sort of like, you know, getting under guys' breastplates and then picking them up and dumping him into the quarterback's lap? Does he need to, like, develop hump moves and rips and swims and pushes and pulls? Or in the Todd Bowles defense, the way you see it, what he's doing is what he's supposed to be doing?
I mean, what he's doing is definitely what he's supposed to be doing, but Bruce Arians, I mean, he's no spring chicken. This isn't his first rodeo. you can't be complacent, especially when you're the defending champions. The Bucks defense was awesome in that playoff run, but they can't just kind of be satisfied with that. Everyone has to get better if they want to, you know, go for two, as they've been saying all offseason. So everyone has to evolve their game, Brady included. And he, and I'm not saying he doesn't know that or he's not good enough, but Vita Vea, I mean, kind of like I alluded to with the rookie, like you can't just use speed. You also just can't overpower everyone. So I think Bruce Arians putting out there like a challenge to Vea, saying like, hey, you are creating pressure, but you can be even better. And why you're not, you are having an impact on the field. It's not on the stat sheet. So why don't you elevate your game to that next level and get to the quarterback, get those sacks, which I think he can. The power is not a question. I think, and again, he did have a, it was a foot injury last year. So, you know, his speed might not be all there. It'll come. But I think him challenging Vita Vea, it's not an indictment on him. It's just saying like, hey, as a team, we're defending champs. We all have to get better. We all have to evolve. And I think that Rams game was kind of a wake up call, as was, should have been the Cowboys game, because that wasn't exactly a comfortable win. The Falcons game, when you look at the Falcons, that also probably should have been a little more comfortable. I mean, it ended up being, but I mean, how often are you going to get two pick sixes in the same quarter? So,
how often do you play the Falcons?
All right, so maybe it'll happen again in about a month. But yeah, I don't have a problem with what he said with Vita Vea at all. I think I loved it.
Yeah, I think the fact that that he is putting out the challenge there and making it public, hey, I expect you to have multiple sack games. And really, if you think about it, it means that he feels, and it's not so much an indictment on Vea, but it's the fact that, you know, if the outside part of the line is looking at Shaq Barrett or JPP or Will Golston or whoever is outside, you know, if Vita Vea doesn't have three guys on him, he should be getting to the quarterback, and you would think that
exactly.
He should have multiple sacks in that case. So I like that. You talked about a couple of guys here so far that didn't play last week that are expected to go here Sunday night against New England. JPP is one. Jamel Dean, Antonio Brown. Who do you think is the most important piece that the Bucs are getting back for Week 5? Or for Week 4?
I think JPP. I mean, AB, I can see people saying that, but I mean, they've been fine without him offensively throwing the ball. And Tom Brady, I mean, us three can line up out there and he'll throw maybe two touchdowns. But I think with JPP, the way the pass rush has been struggling, he's a veteran in the room. He has, when he's out there, been playing well. And kind of similar to what Richard Sherman can bring, you need that kind of veteran jolt in that room, because, I mean, I think Tryon's going to be a great player, but, you know, that's a lot to ask for a rookie. And Shaq Barrett's better when JPP is out there. And the crazy thing about him is, or JPP, is out of their entire loaded roster, and I know when you go to the Super Bowl, you know, you kind of withdraw from the Pro Bowl, but JPP was the only Pro Bowler last year, which is crazy. But I think that this pass rush just needs a wake-up call, and I think him coming back is going to have the biggest impact as far as the game as a whole goes. But, I mean, with Dean, I mean, the secondary needs all the help they can get. So, I mean, that's another potential answer to that question. But I definitely would go with JPP.
If you had to put a grade on the way that Devin White's playing this year, we'll say playoff Devin White is an A. What are you giving him so far this year? Hammer him, do it.
Get him.
I'm not going to hammer him. I'll give him like a gentleman's B minus, just because.
To a C then.
Like I kind of want to give him a C, but at the same time, like, I know he's not a, like.
So I know he's not a C player, but played, right?
Like I told you before, I'm outside of Philadelphia currently. Believe me, I know what a C linebacker looks
yeah,
like.
Yeah, you do.
Devin White is not a C linebacker. He's not as good as he was, but I think it kind of falls into that. Maybe a small part of him got a little complacent. But being next to Levante David, that's not something that's going to last. And, Devin White's come out, like, he knows that he has to get better. I mean, he's still making tackles between the tackles. He's still an absolute load. But, you know, if you're going to compare him to the playoff run, in this particular the Super Bowl, there has been an obvious drop-off, but I can't just drop him down to a C. That just seems a little excessive.
Come on, right. he's played like a C. He's playing like a C. That's the problem.
He's playing like a C if you compare him to himself.
Yes,
that's
if you compare him to the Eagles linebacker since 1980, he's still like at a B plus.
All right, I'll give him a C plus, but it'll be like a 78-79%.
There you go, barely. Okay, so C plus.
He's on the cusp of being a B linebacker this year compared to himself. I get that. Hey, Brandon, I wanna ask you. What the hell is Ronald Jones going to have to do to get out of the doghouse?
You know, I don't know.
Who does?
It's not like it's not like anything. It's not like the players who are outside of the doghouse are, you know, exactly lighting the world on fire.
Exactly.
Gio Bernard, like, almost diving into the end zone might get him out of the doghouse. But, you know, there's a lot of panic with this run game. I'm not one to push the panic button on that yet, just because when you do have Brady, you can utilize more quick passes. Not that they really have so far, but come playoff time, you do have to run the ball, and which they proved last year. Because I mean, Leonard Fournette was, running like he was this year at this point last year. If you know, you want to get tinfoil hat with it, I think they're kind of resting these running back, not resting, but kind of having them on like a bit of a pitch count for later in the season. So then they can kind of get back to what they were doing. The problem is when they do run the ball, it's not, things aren't opening up. So I don't think it's anything Ronald Jones did. I think it might be, if you want to buy my slight conspiracy theory there, I think his fumbling gave Arians an out to be like, all right, come sit next to me, and then, you know, around Thanksgiving time we'll unleash you. But it's weird. This whole situation with the running game is weird. But you also don't need a bell cow back to win a Super Bowl. I mean, the last one was maybe Marshawn Lynch. Before that, you got to go to like Marshall Faulk. I mean, right. Jamal Lewis. Like, it doesn't. If you have two or three capable backs, you're fine. And kind of going off the Devin White thing, I mean, the running backs have been C running backs, but they're at least capable. I don't think it's anything Ronald Jones did. I think they just have to they're just kind of saving him a little bit and kind of ease him back into this. It won't happen this week just because I think they want this to be the Brady show. But he'll be fine in a week or two. I'm not worried about that.
I'm going to switch over to the offense because I kind of like the theme that this is going. O.J. Howard, are they easing him back in? Are they going to unleash him at Thanksgiving? Or does Brady and or the coaching staff just don't trust him?
I think they're kind of easing him back, but at the same time, this is a contract year for him. Mm-hmm. But the crazy thing is, and I'm like probably the biggest Cameron Brate fan in the world, but they don't need all these tight ends. Rob Gronkowski has been out of his mind. So I think, they're just kind of easing O.J. Howard back. But, you know, if he gives you, like, a touchdown here or there, that's great. But, I mean, I don't think it's not that they don't trust O.J. Howard. I think they know what his medical history is, and also that they have Cameron Brate in the same room. I think they're just kind of – I mean – yeah, Gronk got kind of nicked up there last week, but he is practicing. And what evidence do you have to, other than that injury, get Gronk off the field? He's been awesome. So I don't think it's that they don't trust O.J. Howard. I think it's just that Gronk's been awesome. And Cameron Brate had a nice catch and run on a screen too. Mm-hmm. So I think O.J. Howard's just kind of a no pun intended, walking the plank here because of everyone else they already have.
Speaking of everyone else that they have, you know, we've seen Mike Evans get his pieces. You know, when do you think Tom Brady gets Chris Godwin more involved? I know he's been getting involved. He's been the number two guy. But, you know, there have been games, and there were games last year where Godwin was able to take over. Do you think that we see that Chris Godwin at some point this year?
Yeah, absolutely. And the thing with Brady is, I mean, anyone can light up the scoreboard on any given day with him. I mean, he won a Super Bowl with David Patton, Troy Brown, David Gibbons. Like, it doesn't matter. With Godwin, I mean, with Scotty Miller probably heading to the IR, I don't think all of a sudden Brady's going to start slinging it to, and I like Tyler Johnson, to him or Jalen Darden or Jaden Mickens. So the thing with Godwin is he absolutely can get back to his old self. It just depends on what game that happens to be. Because Mike Evans is the same way. Like, he'll have one game, we'll have three catches, two of them will be touchdowns, and then he'll turn around and have an 110-yard game. So I think Godwin is his old self. I think it's just Brady's being Brady and just spreading the ball around. And he did have a rushing touchdown last week, so it's not like the team doesn't want him to get involved.
Hey, what's that junk about people saying he's the best running back on the team? Like,
yeah, like that's just...
Okay, let's put him in offset eye and hand him the ball up the middle. Like, have you seen... No, okay. Yeah, yeah. Ends around and sprints, and, like, I know he's seen the Green Bay game, and the next time he runs it, he scores a touchdown, but saying, like, he's got the best vision on the... Like, what are you talking about?
That reminds me, actually, kind of bringing this full circle. I mean, if they do want Vita Vea to get better rushing, can we stop putting him at fullback?
Why? I want to see him splat somebody. At least let him score, and then
I do, but it's like, I don't think now's the time to get cute. I think they got to rattle off a couple wins here, and then maybe we can start doing the William Perry routine with Vita Vea. But I think he's just got to focus on what Bruce Arians wants him to do. I mean, and look, I love when I see him at fullback because I love Vita Vea, but we got to think long term here with that. Just as an aside, if we're talking about the offense.
That's a fair point, but my selfish fanboy just want to see.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I understand what you're saying. I think it makes sense. You're probably right.
Yep.
I veto it.
Yeah, I do too. As a fat guy, I want to see fat guys in the end zone.
You know what? That's your show. I'll stand down.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I don't know what you're talking about.
Hey, Shady McCoy, last year getting the Super Bowl ring. He's retired now, signed the one-day contract to retire. As a Philadelphia Eagle, you're in Philadelphia. You're out, just outside of Philadelphia. You know, are you surprised that Shady came back and signed the one-day deal to retire as an Eagle, especially with what happened with him leaving that organization?
No, he absolutely loved it here. And I think he's from New
Orleans. Even though Chip Kelly did him wrong?
Well, that's the thing. Like, him and DeSean Jackson didn't want to leave, and Chip Kelly kind of spewed all this stuff about it. But then after Chip Kelly got axed, all was kind of forgiven. And LeSean McCoy still does stuff around here and everything like that. Yeah, he never wanted to leave in the first place. He is probably the first or second best running back the Eagles ever had. So
you put him up there. Is he so you're saying him and Deuce? I would say those are the two guys that you're thinking of.
I mean, you know, obviously I wasn't alive, or probably anyone at this point, but like Steve Van Buren's like the gold standard.
Oh my God.
And then
he's older than Rent.
Well, that's the thing. Like, LeSean McCoy broke his touchdown record, like, when he was here. Then you have, like,
I cannot believe we're talking Eagles football.
Oh, it started with Shady.
Who cares? Yeah, I know. Why? Why are we talking about Shady McCoy?
Because he retired.
The thing I don't understand about
this. He touched the ball like 10 times for the Bucks? Ever?
No, I get it. He's just trying to, you know, bring us all together here. The thing I don't get is all this animosity towards the Eagles. Because around here, we're just like, you guys closed down the Vet. Like, you guys won.
Yeah, we know.
Yes. And then you opened up the Link and ruined that.
Yeah.
And then
It's over. That's what we
Matt, do. Later, Matt yeah. Ryan kicked a 62-yard field goal. So it's like,
I remember that. I ran the board for that.
I don't understand the animosity here. But
that's just because Philly sucks.
Because we beat us like 3 years in a row before that to get to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, but like you guys had Sean King. So like what is it?
Hey. That's a local treasure.
Yeah, oh, I love Sean King. I will die on the hill that if Bert Emanuel's catches an overturn, Sean King has two Super Bowls.
Ooh. I think if Bert Emanuel catches that, they go down and score.
Well, first off, he did catch it.
Okay.
Yes, he did catch it.
Yes, he catches that. They go down and score. Because that's the way Sean King played. You know, he would always put one drive together during the game when they needed it, you know, somewhere, you know, sort of take the lead and the defense would strangle you out, or, you know, somewhere late to take the lead and the defense would hang on near the end. Who was this? Well, who played? Was it the Titans?
They would have played the Titans.
It was the Rams and the Titans, yeah. Oh, so it would have been the Bucks and the Titans.
If they if that defense, and I put this out on Twitter, and I actually got a lot more support than I thought. I think that 99 defense.
It's the best defense they had.
I think it was better than the 02 one.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And like, if they may have shut out the Titans if they get to that Super Bowl. See, I love this stuff. During the offseason, every Wednesday, I would post like a what if scenario in Bucks history. I love this like revisionist history.
What's been your favorite revisionist outside of you know, the Bucks would have gotten to two Super Bowls with Sean King if Bert Emanuel makes that catch. Is there another one that strikes your fancy?
Well, that's the big one. The other one that like had kind of like a domino effect was if Doug Williams got paid. That was a big one.
Yeah.
If Bill Parcells shows up.
Yeah, that was one I kind of kicked around. There was another one. Obviously, the Bo Jackson thing, if Culverhouse didn't mess that up.
Oh, my God.
You could have had a backfield with
James Wilder and Bo Jackson.
Him, James Wilder, and maybe some Gary Anderson sprinkled in.
Lord help us.
another one, which was actually pretty big, too, was if the Jets ended up taking Warren Sapp, which everyone wanted them to do.
Oh, my God. I remember that. I remember that day vividly. I remember sitting on my couch at my house in Rhode Island, and we were watching the draft and just hearing everybody at Radio City Music Hall when they got to, what was it, 11? And they're just chanting, "We want Sapp. We want Sapp." And up comes Tagliabue with the 11th pick. The New York Jets select Kyle Brady. And you just see all the Jets fans go, "Who the hell is this guy?"
Because like it worked out where I was like kind of writing it out, and I was looking at like draft boards and everything like that, and it was like, had that happened, like the Bucks would have taken, like, I don't think they trade up for, it was like they wouldn't trade up for Derek Brooks. They would have got someone, but then the next year they would have just got Ray Lewis. So it kind of would have worked out.
Oh, wow.
It's weird when you look at all this.
Jets.
But low-key, my low-key favorite one that I did was if Brian Griese doesn't get hurt in 2005, because I don't know what was going on that season, but the Bucks were rolling with Brian Griese. He got hurt. Chris Sims was okay. He had that weird play against Washington in the playoffs, but like that's kind of, because 2005 was a weird year in the NFL in general.
Yeah,
that was low-key one of my favorite ones, if Griese stayed healthy.
We have some breaking news, and we're going to ask you how this changes things, and also why the hell was he in the game to begin with. Jamel Dean and Giovanni Bernard are ruled out.
Well, it looks like Ronald Jones might be out of the doghouse.
Jones is out of the doghouse. That
means they're going to see a lot of Ross Cockrell again. Oh, geez.
Although, I will say...
Or is Sherman playing now?
That he might. I mean, I don't expect. I mean, even if he does play, I don't expect much from him anyway. Just because kind of there's a difference between being in shape and football shape, which I think Gronk is now fully in football shape, and look what's happening. I will say though, with about the Bernard thing, Leonard Fournette's been pretty good receiving out of the backfield. I didn't really see that coming.
Yeah.
He had that catch against Dallas was huge. So. That has been a pleasant surprise, I will say. So I'm not as worried about the Bernard one. Although Bernard's, I think, best and underrated skill is his ability to pass protect. So that could be an issue because you know Belichick's going to try and send the house a couple times. But I don't think that really changes much. I'm not, even though the Bucs secondary's banged up, I'm not exactly sweating over, you know, Nelson Aguilar or anyone else they might throw out there.
Yeah, you know, let's just sort of wrap this up with that one. Like, what has to happen for the Bucs to win this game? Like, not Tom Brady not get COVID, which was the first thing I thought listening to his press conference yesterday. I mean, I'm like, he's got COVID, and the NFL is just going to ignore it.
Oh, of course. It's like when Mahomes like got concussed in the
oh, that's right,
against the Browns. Like, well, no, there was a nerve, and it kind of choked, and it was like, all right. But
oh, Steve left.
No, all right. Well,
he'll be back. I'm sure it was an internet thing.
I guess it was the Brian Greasy thing. But no, I mean, I think like Brady said, like he was talking to his ex teammates, and like they know he wants to roll them. Like everyone knows what's going to happen. I will say though, I don't think Belichick's obviously want to like roll over. He'll probably like the Bucs are going to win pretty handily, but I don't think it's going to be like a blowout. Like Belichick's going to pull out all the stops that he has to you know, make a point really. But I mean, the Bucs are going to win.
Oh, that's the wrong one. Okay, we're going to go with this. Hey, that's Steve, okay. Welcome back.
Yeah, sorry about that.
It's okay.
That's the beauty of Spectrum Internet here.
We were just talking about what has to happen for the Bucs basically not to lose instead of win this game. And I want to get your thoughts on this. Did you at least see not the Brady press conference? Did you see the tweets about how it sounded like he had a sore throat? Well, he did have a sore throat. He had a really raspy voice. He had trouble talking. If Tom Brady has COVID or gets COVID, do you think the NFL hides it so they can play this game?
Well, I think if Tom Brady comes up testing positive for COVID, he's vaccinated. So that's one thing that'll make it a little easier
play. Yes or no question.
I don't think they hide it, but I think they do everything in their power to try and get him to play. If he had COVID, that would kill the ratings.
Right, which means they get him to play, they can't tell anybody, which means they hide it.
I don't think they can hide it.
Yeah, but there's nothing else they can do. What are they going to do, let him play? Then what's the point of everybody else that, you know, is going to miss after that or before that?
Yeah. I don't think you can hide it because you as good as of a number as this is going to be, you can't let one player be more important than the rest of the players in the league. It sets a bad precedent.
I agree.
Probably move the game.
Yeah, that's probably what they do is move the game.
Oh my God.
But they need a Sunday night game because we ran into that last year. Remember when they sort of switched?
They switched the Sunday and the Monday night game.
Yeah.
Or yeah, well, you can't switch the Monday night game, but yeah, they could take one of the 4 o'clock games because the 4 o'clock slate's really good this week. I mean, you've got Cardinals, Rams, Ravens, Broncos, Steelers, Packers. That's probably the game that I would move to Monday night. Or yeah, to Sunday night is Steelers Packers because that'll get you a good number. But
kind of catering to Brady would set like a bad precedent. But it's also like the things that like they would have to do to get me to stop watching. It's like, I mean, who cares?
Right? Yeah, yeah. Even though I am very excited, like I talked about this a little bit last pod with Steve was you know, when you start first watching the Super Bowl. You know, you tune in like at 4:30 and you watch all the pregame.
Yeah.
And then you're like 4 or 5 years into it, you watch like the last hour of the pregame. And now, like, you don't tune in until you know the ball's been kicked off because you don't, like, none of these people that really, you know, I don't care what Hollywood star that has a show coming up that's on the network that's carrying it has to say about, you know, the two, why is Emeril Lagasse telling me who's going to win the Super Bowl?
Yeah, and I don't want to see the interview with the president of the United States because that just makes somebody mad.
Yeah,
whether it's one way or the other. I tune in for the national anthem only because my mother and I bet on the over under.
Yeah,
you know, I look at the over under for the national anthem, and my mother and I will have a little friendly wager on that, because she thinks she knows exactly how long the anthem is going to be. Whereas I've seen the timing sheets for the Super Bowl. So I tend to win that one quite a bit. And then of course kickoff.
Yeah.
But I'm watching the pregame on this.
Oh yeah.
Like, I'm watching it all. Like, I can't wait to, like, I'm going to be all, like, I'll have my snacks. I'll be all settled in like 2 hours before the game. I'll be ready to go.
The thing that stinks about this, though, like, it is like the most hyped regular season game ever. I just wish the Patriots were like good. And they weren't trotting a rookie out there, I guess, is really a big issue. Like, if it was Cam Newton. Yeah, like, that would have been a little more interesting, but they would have been better, but it would have been interesting.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
You know, NBC spent a lot of money doing the promotions. I don't even want to know how much they had to spend to get Adele's song for their promo at the end of last. I bet they spent at least $500,000 on that song alone.
Oh, easily.
So
that's probably why they're NBC's renegotiating everything with YouTube TV.
We need more money. We just spent it all on Tom Brady, and now he's not going to play because he has COVID, and Blaine Gabbert's going to play. No, that would be awful.
It'd be kind of funny, though.
It would be funny.
All right, Brandon, thank you for putting up with us.
That was a pleasure. I'll be back anytime, seriously.
Where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter at bthornton_33. Or just, you know, if you want to read the Peter Plank, I'm splattered all around there, too. So that's really all for social media as far as that goes. That's where you can find me. Don't be shy. I'll get in the mud if need be.
All right, excellent, man. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Seriously. It's a pleasure.
Thanks, yeah. Brent.
All right. Let's see if I can do this.
There we go. That is Brandon Thornton of Peter Plank, who is part of our sister. Yeah, I'm okay with this. Yeah, because we got the little bug up here.
Yeah, we're good.
I like that. So you know this is the PeterCast, sponsored in part by BetUS. And BetUS, of course.
Oh, that's right. We got to do our lines.
Yeah, we got to do the picks.
Here. What are you for so far this year?
I am 1-5. And Ren, you are 3-3.
No, so I'm 4-2.
No, you went 0-3 the first week.
No, I went 1-2 the first week.
Oh, that's right. Yes, you're 4-2. I am 1-5. I'm just trying to get a little closer.
Yeah, I know.
I'm cheating.
I think we're both 1-5.
I know I'm 1-5, and that eats into my soul right now. But you can definitely check out the lines that we use at BetUS.com. And of course, if you are looking to maybe get a little action in on this weekend, there's no better place than BetUS. BetUS has NFL and college football lines. Also, they have, I have to readjust myself.
Yeah.
Oh, well, we're going to figure this out one of these days.
Yeah, when are you going to get on that, by the way?
I don't know. All right, so NFL college football lines. Now they'll have NFL NHL and NBA lines when the regular season gets around. You can bet on the UFC. You can bet on PGA round and tournaments, and also bet on the ponies with BetUS. And we here at the PeterCast have a deal for you if you want to maybe get a little extra action in, because if you go to BetUS.com or call 1-800-MY-BETUS. You can use the promo code PEWTER and then the letter C and the number 125 and get a 125% sign-up bonus. So, for example, if you sign up, use the promo code PEWTERC125, you will have $125 in bonus on top of the $100 that you put in. So you'll have $225 to wager with. If you want to use cryptocurrency, you're a Bitcoin head out there, we like you even more because you got the promo code PewterC, same way, 200, and you get a 200% sign-up bonus on cryptocurrency. So you can go to betus.com or call 1-800-MY-BETUS and use the promo code PewterC125 or PewterC200 if you like cryptocurrency. For 27 years, betus.com, you bet, you win, you get paid. All right.
Where are you at? Sorry.
That's okay. So, again, I am 1-5. Yeah. Ren is 4-2.
Yes.
When it comes to our predictions. I normally pick the Bucks game, and I may do that here, but in a different sense. I am going to start, though, in Dallas because the Cowboys are hosting the Carolina Panthers. Dallas has won both of its games since its loss on kickoff night to the Bucks. Carolina's 3-0, which is incredible. No Christian McCaffrey in this game, and I don't think it's going to matter. I'm taking the Panthers +4.5 in that game.
Over the Cowboys? At Dallas.
Over the Cowboys. I always think the Cowboys are I think they're overvalued early in the year.
Sure, you're 1-6.
Okay. I'll take Carolina +4.5 there.
All right. I don't know if I cheated or not. I didn't like any of the lines. I didn't like any of the I'm a sure thing better. If you don't like the money line, we'll just if you're not taking the money line because you have to put too much down to make so much, just put more down. That's how I look at it. So I didn't like anything. I thought the lines were dead on as far as, the teams. I didn't like the over-unders. I did like one over-under. So what I did is I did a teaser where I could you can do this, of course, on BetUS because I did in real life. These are my real-life bets. This is what I bet this week. I took the Bucks and I teased it down to a half point. So they just have to beat the Patriots. And then the Broncos-Ravens game is pick 'em. So I gave the Ravens 7. So I think the Ravens are going to win. And if they lose, they don't have to lose by 7. And then I have the Bucks just winning. So I don't know if we're allowing that. I know we didn't talk about it. But those are, I guess, my two picks.
And so you're going to... it's all or nothing there.
Yeah.
So you got the Ravens +7. By the way, up to the minute line right now, you actually got yourself an extra point because now the Ravens are 1-point favorites. So you actually have gained a point in this, so that's a good thing.
And then I got the Bucks, but the lines don't move. Okay, explain to me this, and this will be like a lesson for everybody out there, including myself. But when I bet it, I don't get the point spread's locked in from when I bet it, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, so I'm not understanding how you're telling me I'm getting an extra point.
Because the Ravens aren't even now.
Right.
They're now -1. So if you had done the bet now, right?
But
this,
I didn't.
Right,
oh,
this
you're telling minute, the people out there.
I'm telling the people.
Okay, not
that,
me.
That Ren's getting an extra point because right now on BetUS.com, the Ravens are -1. So if you were to do this.
A teaser moving at 7
teaser,
points, you could get it.
You would get it to you. You well, they could only get it to +6. You got it to +7 because you went early when it was still pick 'em.
Oh, I got you.
It's no longer pick 'em anymore. It's Ravens -1.
Okay.
But I'll give you the point because we're doing this and you've already locked it in.
I'll show you the slip, Steve.
Oh, I trust you inherently. I'm only going to do one more as well. Then that way we're even.
No, no. Those count. That counts as two. either win them both. If I miss one, then I lose them both.
Then you lose them both. Okay. And you've got a second? Do you have any?
What?
Well,
third.
One?
I do. I have a third. Remember when we were talking to Barry and he said he plays every week that Baker Mayfield's going to throw an interception?
Yep.
I'm hoping that...
No, it was Jared Goff that throws
Jared interception. Goff. Jared Goff throws an interception. I'm hoping that that shows up in the Texans game. It's not under the prop bets right now, but I have noticed that when it gets closer to game time, a lot more prop bets sort of pop up.
Mm-hmm.
So this one I do not have, but David Mills is going to throw an interception. And they're playing the Bills. Very underrated defense. You know, a lot of people's Super Bowl picks come out of the AFC. The Texans' defense is okay. Their offense wasn't that good to start with. They have no running back. They have, you know, a couple wide receivers. Of course, they have DeAndre Hopkins. But now they got this quarterback who was the 70th pick or a 70th quarterback taken in the draft. He has, like, one start. And at Stanford, he was like, he plays like Jameis Winston. He'll throw for three touchdowns, but also throw for three interceptions, you know. And big arm, and he'll stand in there. But anyway, that's what I'm looking for is a David Mills interception. But what I did is I took the under. I don't think the Texans are going to score on Buffalo at all. I think the over-under was like at 42.
It is 47.
Okay, 47. I took the under. I think I got it at 45. Maybe. Hopefully I got it 47. But I took the under. I don't think the Texans are going to score at all. And, you know, I'm just hoping the Bills don't put up 50.
Yeah, I was looking at the total for the Giants and the Saints because that's really low. It's 42. That one is 42 still. That one is 42, and I was kind of eyeballing that one. I hate to go really big favorite, but I probably would take the Saints on the money line, which is minus 330, which means
wow.
Yeah, you got to wager 330 to bet or to win 430. I don't want to do that.
Why?
I really don't want to.
You just want to win. You just want to win.
But I want to be smart too.
Nope. See, that's how you get in trouble. You try to thread the needle. Like, I know I can win this bet, but I got to put so much down to make little money.
Yeah. So that's
just
that's,
win,
that's,
baby.
That's the way I'll go. I'll take New Orleans on the money line at minus 330. It's not it's not a lucrative bet, but that's one that I think it's going to pan out rather easily. So Ren's got the teaser there. He's got Buffalo and Houston under 47. I've got Carolina plus 4.5. I'll take New Orleans on the money line. And I almost want to take the Bucks over 28. You know, I'm going to go all NFC South, and I'll take the Bucks over 28. Bucks themselves over 28. They
is
get
that,
back a new
is
streak.
That a prop bet?
No, it's on the main line when you go into BetUS.com because they have the total, the game total, and they also have individual team totals there.
So you're saying that the Bucks are going to score over 28 points.
Yes.
All right. I like that bet, too.
So there we go. There's your three bets from each of us. Ren's got the teaser, teasing the Bucks down to a half point and moving the Ravens up to plus 7 and taking Buffalo and Houston under 47. I've got Carolina plus 4.5, New Orleans on the money line, and the Buccaneers scoring at least 28 points on Sunday night football.
At least 28, or they have to score 29?
It's over 28. So if they score 28, it's a push.
So it's a loss.
Yeah. Well, it's a push. I would get my money back.
No. Well, you don't in this. There is no like 1-5. There's no dash after the loss here.
It's no 1-5-1.
Yeah. No, we can do it. Actually, that's probably a good idea just in case, you know. I don't know. Even if you catch fire, it's like the Rays, Yankees, all be winning. So, like, even if you win, like, you know, even if you're 9-0, you'll still only gain like a game or two games on me.
Exactly.
So,
well, it would affect my winning percentage because it's not a win, but it doesn't affect my losing percentage. I would get my money back. It's a push. So, So I'll take those three. We'll have those up on social media here coming up a little later this afternoon when I get that out, because I like to put those out on Friday afternoons. But here we are coming up on 1 o'clock. So we both got to get on out of here. So Ren,
predictions.
Give us your prediction.
Thank you. The Ren prediction. Bucks win. You know, it's. I think it's going to be ugly.
You think it's going to be ugly?
The end. I mean, yeah, I think the Bucks win by at least 2 touchdowns.
Okay.
I just do. Even though, you know, we talked about with Brandon about, you know, the defensive backfield and the pass rush, but we faced the two best receiving corps besides our own in the league already, you know, in the deepest for sure.
Yeah.
Patriots aren't that. So, you know, I think the defense is going to at least get healthy, you know, how they say in baseball. Oh, we play the Orioles. Hey, it's a nice time to get healthy. Yeah, so I think this is just going to be a game where even if they're out-coached, the Bucks can just out-athlete them, and they're not going to get out-coached this week. Mm-hmm. So I think Bucks big. I say 2-plus scores.
Okay. I'm not quite as big, but I do think it is I don't think it's going to be a one that's going to get Bucks fans' nerves all crazy. I think it's 31-21. I think is the final there. So they don't quite get to 2 touchdowns, but it is 2 scores. So I'll go there.
Barely over 28.
Yeah, barely over 28.
But it's a win.
It's a win. I'll be pulling my whatever hair I have left out. I'll start with my eyebrows.
Sure.
and go that route.
I need an eyebrow trimmer, by the way.
Well, there you go.
I just don't Manscaped. Know where to get one.
Manscaped.
Yeah.
You can always go to Manscaped. They'll help you out there. So, because they're a great sponsor here of the Peter Guys. All right.
Best place to find me.
Now let's get out of here.
Best place to find me is on Twitter at Rendax. No, that's a lie. Best place to find me is on Twitter at the Peter Cast. I'm always on Talk Buccaneers Football, but if your take is too hot or you don't want to put it there on a Twitter sphere, feel free to slide in my DMs where I'll talk Buccaneers Football with you there as well, too.
There you go. You can follow me. I'm at Steve Carney. Check out stpete9.com for my Rays coverage. We are hoping for chaos. If the Rays sweep the Yankees, there's a possibility that you could have 4 teams tied for the 2 wild card spots in Major League Baseball in the American League. That should be a lot of fun. But then also make sure that you subscribe to the PeterCast wherever you get your favorite podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Play, etc. Leave us ratings and reviews. Thank you to our sponsors, Manscaped and BetUS.com. Also, thank you to the Fansided Network. Thank you to Brandon Thornton for being on with us here on this Friday. And don't forget that we will be live after Sunday Night Football, taking your thoughts and your responses after hopefully we're talking about another Bucks win and a 3-1 record. But until next time, go Buck yourself.